You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, it is a huge middle of the week portion of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Great to have all of you back with us. You know that our friends at Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers want you to know that there's a lot going on as a Browns fan you need to be aware of. You know, their loyalty for the team is unconditional, and they accent the team. So make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns. That's OBM, with OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Level Platinum service provider in town. They've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. Give them a shout. They'd love to hear from you. 216-485-2000. Or, of course, on the web at ohiobusinessmachines.com. Nathan Zagouras here. I'm Michael Regai in for Vic Carucci. This is the show of great renown, of course, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So much going on today. Let's take it right to upstate New York. Big Browns backers contingency there as we welcome Frank to the show. What's happening, Frank?
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
We're good. Hey, say Nathan. Hello to Nathan, too.
Hey, Nathan.
What's going on, man?
Good. Hey, my thoughts on LeBron. You know, I'm not from Ohio, but I bleed orange and brown. And I really think that when he left the last time, he hurt a lot of people, hurt a lot of feelings. And I think he wants to be the one to come back to bring a championship to Cleveland. He don't want the Browns to do it. He don't want the Indians to do it. He wants to be the one, and I think that's how he make amends. He makes amends for all those feelings they heard a long time ago. So that's my thought on that. And I do have a question for you guys, just some information on all. I hear about these wide receivers we got in camp, the undrafted ones, and I'm not real familiar with a couple. If you could talk about that a little bit, and I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Frank. Yeah, Nathan, we know Browns backers are huge in upstate New York, man.
Of course, yes,
Frank's
indeed.
A part of that.
Yes, glad he is also. Yes, absolutely. You know, when you look, go ahead and start with that, Reg, and I'll chime in after you.
Yeah, well, he was asking about, well, first of all, his comments about LeBron, right?
Sure.
No question about it. But he was also asking about some of the free agents and receivers that came in to help this football team. I think the one that stuck out the most, wouldn't you agree, Nathan, was Anthony Armstrong. Now, he's not a young fella. He's over 30 years of age, but he's very much familiar and also up to speed with the situation with the Kyle Shanahan's offense. We also got to take a look at Willie Snead that I saw a lot
Chandler
in college,
Jones.
Right?
Yep.
At Ball State. Do you think that Kenny Shaw made a little bit of an impression as well? The young man out of Florida State, he flashed a little bit early in camp.
He did. He was battled injuries for a while. He didn't impress me all that much in camp. I thought that he was kind of nondescript, as it were, and I would rank him of the fourth out of four for the undrafted free agent receivers that were here. I think Willie Snead, very impressive, could be a very good kind of ball, you know, possession receiver. I don't know if this is the right offense for him. He might be better off in a precision area where you're looking at, you know, a Peyton Manning offense where he could be kind of a slot receiver akin to an Austin Collie, something like that, a poor man's Jared Aberderis out of Wisconsin.
Right.
The guys who stood
Chandler
out
to Jones
me,
was more – Chandler Jones
just
impressed,
explosive,
right?
Yes.
Yeah,
he impressed, a slot receiver, can play a little bit on the outside and can get down the field. But in my mind, you know, he's been impressive. And Jonathan Krause is a guy who at Vanderbilt had a play of over 35 yards in 7 out of 11 games, played very well alongside Jordan Matthews, 4-3 speed. He made some plays as well. He's somebody to watch. None of these guys are big, and none of these guys can really be kind of number one outside receivers, though, from this undrafted group. The guy that you really want to watch is Charles Johnson, who really will be making his NFL debut this season, even though he's not technically a rookie. That's somebody I think to keep an eye on as kind of filling that role on the outside there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. We're all excited about Johnson because, again, I allude to when we were at Lambeau Field last year and they were talking to a Packer team officials as the Browns played the Packers, and you know, they were mentioning Charles Johnson was someone that they thought really had a chance at could be, because had the talent maybe to be an explosive, and he's a bigger receiver, Johnson, in that 6'2", 215-pound range. So Yeah, I think so. You know, Willie Snead is a guy, I agree with you on that, and they all more are the slot type of receivers, as you mentioned. So, you know, if these young men get an opportunity, Connor Vernon, and they're going to get an opportunity, Willie Snead, as we mentioned, and to show that they belong in the National Football League. So, that's something that they've got right there in front of them. There's no question about that, because they're going to get a long look.
They are going to get a long look at as a team that needs wide receiver help, obviously, in light of the Josh Gordon news. We know that. And it's a team that, you know, has some guys who can step in alongside those veterans who they brought in. And, of course, Nate Burleson, Miles Austin. You talked about Anthony Armstrong as well. So certainly some opportunities there for wide receivers to step up in this offense. And I am expecting and continue to expect a big season from one Mr. Andrew Hawkins when it is all said and done. I'm absolutely expecting that to happen this season, working out of the slot. All right, we are going to get some sound now talking about Josh Gordon, the troubled wide receiver of the Browns. Nothing official has come out since his arrest over the July 4th holiday weekend, but certainly a lot of opinions have come out. Chris Carter, Herm Edwards. We're going to hear from two other people right now who weighed in on the situation. One, a guy who battled his own demons and certainly made right coming off an impressive rookie season with the Arizona Cardinals. We'll be coming back from an injury, a knee injury. That's Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger from Louisiana State. And he was asked, who should talk to Josh Gordon?
Me having been through it and, you know, having a little bit of experience with that, I don't think anybody in the world could possibly tell him anything. No one could tell me anything when I was going through it. You know, I had to figure that out for myself.
Very interesting, isn't it? And
it goes back to what you said. You need to want to get help.
Absolutely.
You need to want to turn the corner and get things in the right direction.
Remember how long that this was an ongoing battle for Tyrann Mathieu at LSU, and it was something that always hung over the heads of, I remember almost each week and taking a look at the SEC network and Les Miles when he was head coach at LSU having to address that and being asked questions over and over about, you know, how they're dealing with Tyrann Mathieu. So Mathieu does speak from experience, and there it is. There it is. Your individual has to come forward and be receptive to it, or else it means nothing.
That's exactly right. That is the point. And Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, was also asked about, you know, what is the turning point? What does it need to be for a guy like Josh Gordon?
Most of the times it takes for people to hit rock bottom for them to start believing in themselves and start seeking help. Because a lot of people could reach out to you, but that doesn't mean you always, you know, take that help and take that advice. So, you know, you just have to want it for yourself.
Sounds like a young man that's speaking from the heart, because he didn't say he was at rock bottom. But, Nathan, don't you think the implication was there that finally Tyrann Mathieu realized that, look, I'm not even going to get an opportunity to play in the National Football League unless I get some help to challenge myself to have a life here?
Right, and that to me, you know, he fell, I believe, into the third round and was a guy that was a consensus first-round talent.
Right.
But because of those concerns, he fell all the way into the third round there, and that was certainly something, you know, that he took to heart. And that was with an idea that he had turned things around somewhat, and he has a great success story, and I hope he continues that success. Another player who battled some issues in his playing career and went on to have one of the greatest careers in the league, Michael Irvin, joined the Dan Le Batard show earlier this week, I believe it was yesterday, to talk about Josh Gordon, a guy that he was, you know, he has talked to recently. I remember when he was in our studios for Cleveland Browns Daily last year, talked to the playmaker, and he said, you know, Josh Gordon was somebody that he was in regular contact with, and he's going to talk about that relationship and also had some very strong things to say about Chris Carter and his comments. But we'll start with Josh Gordon and his thoughts on Gordon, whether or not he's on the road to recovery.
But the fact that a guy is sharing some of the issues that he's had in his history with his family, things to that bird, is saying he's on his road to recovery. It don't happen when you want it to happen, but it's not about you.
No, it isn't about it. And listen, Michael, when you think about all of it, and he'll say to this day, yeah, he recovered to be an NFL Hall of Famer, but he still feels like, you know, just so many missed opportunities and never never was able to even scratch the surface of how great he thought he might have been because of the situations he put himself in. And I think Irvin is going to go on here, Nathan, as we go forward. And Sam, there's also a time element involved here, too, that recovery does indeed take a little bit of time.
It may not happen when the NFL wants it to happen. It's not about the NFL. And it may not happen when the Cleveland Browns fans want it to happen. And it's not about them either. It's about that kid. It's about that damn thing. We can't be making blanket statements like that. And yes, I am upset about it.
Visibly upset. And you could tell he certainly is very emotional, maybe even a little bit angered about that. And Michael Irvin, and Michael was in here last year, Nathan. You recall that? I remember, you know, Vic and I had him on the Browns player preview show, and he spoke very eloquently. And, of course, there seems to be he had a little connect. Josh being from Texas, of course, with Josh Gordon.
Yes, and he is a passionate guy. He cares about these young men, and that kind of has become his mission in life, right, is to get young men in the right way and get them where they, you know, really need to be and want to be to fulfill their lives. That's kind of his mission, is to help people who are going down the wrong path to do it. And I think that is a great thing that Michael Irvin does, and he gets very animated about it, and he knows how hard it is to overcome demons. And I think that is something that is very, very, you know, where that passion comes from. You said he sounded angry there, and he did. And I think that's where a lot of that passion and anger comes from. This is on nobody's time frame. Everybody is different. It is all about getting Josh Gordon right for Josh Gordon. This isn't about for you. This isn't about for the Browns. So that's what we said. Football has to be secondary. It's about Josh Gordon. It's about Josh Gordon getting healthy and putting himself in a place where he can choose the career he wants to have. And if it is to come back and to play football for the Cleveland Browns, that's great. But Josh Gordon right now, it's about getting healthy, and the playmaker was fired up about that. Now, he was also fired up about comments made by Chris Carter, and he shared his thoughts with Dan Le Batard about Chris Carter and his response about Josh Gordon's situation.
I was so hot when I heard it. I was so hot, you know, and I love Chris Carter, and he's a good dude, and I know what he's trying to do, and he's doing his job, because his job is to bring his experience to the desk, to a microphone, and share with his experiences. But when he's touching these lines that he's touching, just like I am touching, you know, when I'm trying to help guys recover, you're trying to mentor guys, and you're on TV, and you got to toe a thin line here. You have to toe a very thin line, and you cannot, because people consider, you talk to Josh, you must know more than we know. If you say they need to cut him, then my God, maybe they should cut him. Now, isolation for Chris may have been the best thing. Separation for Chris may have been the best thing. For Josh, maybe it's the worst thing.
And that's a point, and I'm glad he said it, because it's a point that I was trying to make, but my ability, that's just as an observer, this is a person who's walked, you know, in some shoes like that where he's had those issues. And as I said at the time, that may have been the best thing for Chris Carter to do to be released, but Josh Gordon is a different person. It's a different set of circumstances, and you don't know that that is definitively the best thing for Josh Gordon. And that's why you need to kind of figure out and assess, and I think that's Ray Farmer's job, that's part of the NFL's job, Mike Pettine's job, Jimmy Haslam's job right now, Josh Gordon's job, to understand what is the best thing for Josh Gordon right now, because it may not be what Chris Carter said. That was a blanket statement about anybody in a situation like this, and I think that is what Michael Irvin really took umbrage with in that particular set of comments.
Certainly sounds that way, and there's no question about that. And of course, listen, you're going to give your opinion, you're asked about it, you're going to analyze it, and Chris Carter certainly had the right to, and he just related it to himself. But, of course, you know, we are talking it over 20 years ago, so a different National Football League at the time. And, yeah, it worked for Chris Carter. It made him realize, I'm on a road to ruins here. But as Michael Irvin pointed out, maybe that isolation is not what Josh Gordon needs. So, but Nathan, you and I went through all of this. We believe that this Cleveland Browns organization, and given their philosophy, and their ideals and what they want to build. They are ones that are going to not push away, but gravitate to, give even a larger hug to, in the fact of now it's time to get yourself in the right frame of mind and what you need to do to be a part of this winning family. But I think, as you and I expressed the other day, we believe that that's exactly how this is going to be handled, to take closer to and put in a situation to give help as long as a young man wants it, instead of pushing away and allowing a young man to go out on his own.
Yes, indeed. And finally, Michael Irvin said cutting Josh Gordon right now is wrong.
I would never stay on air, given the position I'm given, that a team should cut somebody unless I get it from his professional help, that separation and isolation will give him a revelation about his situation. If I don't get that from the doctor, not a football player, not anybody that is experienced, I don't get it from the doctor, then I don't repeat it and I don't say it.
It's an emotional stance from Michael Irvin, and you could tell that he's very convicted about that and the way he feels regarding Josh Gordon and Josh's situation. So, and who knows, maybe someone like a Michael Irvin can continue to be a factor in this, Nathan, for Josh Gordon, if it's going to be a positive in the way that Gordon starts to approach himself and his mortality in the National Football League, because if nothing else, unfortunately, it's probably teetering on the brink right now.
It is, and I think that's one of the reasons why Michael Irvin is so passionate. I think he understands the seriousness of the situation and why he, you know, you need to make sure you're doing the right thing for Josh Gordon. He mentioned if that's what the doctor says is the right thing for him, okay, that's one thing. But if it's not, that's something altogether different. And I think when you look at this Josh Gordon situation, one of the things I said, in addition to, you know, some type of rehab or intensive therapy, something to get into his mind, help him understand why he's making the decisions he is, and help him figure out a way to correct it and not do that when it comes up again in the future. I think that is very important. It's critical for Josh Gordon, and that's why I like that Michael Irvin referenced the doctors, because I think you are going to need doctors in this situation to help Josh Gordon get where he needs to be, and what the actual manner in which they do that will be, again, somewhat subjectively based upon the kind of needs that Josh Gordon specifically has. And I like that Michael Irvin is stepping up for the individuality of Josh Gordon, saying that needs to be important here. You can't just make blanket statements about what's going to work best for a young man unless you really know what's going to work best for that young man. And that's what it is, and that's where it is. All right, when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we will talk with Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. He will talk to us about his great article on Paul Kruger, also the roster he did as well. He will be on with us right after the top of the hour. And one last update on LeBron. The bottom line is this. There is an update to the meeting. It will just be Pat Riley with LeBron James and Rich Paul. No Dwayne Wade, no Mickey Arison. They are in Las Vegas. They will not be a part of the meeting, according to Chris Broussard in the latest. I wonder what that means. And to me, Reg, if I'm just going to read into it, that means to me, LeBron said, listen, I want to just talk to you one-on-one, and that could be a professional, you know, I just want to thank you and say goodbye. Maybe I'm just being an optimist, but that kind of, if that change happens that way and he just wants to be with Pat Riley, it could be a, hey Pat, I want to thank you for everything, man to man, let's not have anybody else in here clouding this, that's what this business is about.
Yeah, could be reading the tea leaves. That's a possibility. As we said, it's their momentum and certainly a steam being gathered here that maybe is pointing in the direction of the Cleveland Cavaliers for
sure. Hope so. Take that, Gibbs. Who knows? Apparently, and this is, I don't know if this is, you know, we'll see how valid this ends up being, but Pro Basketball Draft saying after 6 p.m. Eastern, start checking LeBronJames.com. The news of LeBron's choice is expected to be announced on LeBronJames.com, maybe as early as tonight, folks. So that would be nice if we could get that answer. Kevin Jones talking Paul Kruger when we return here on CBD. My favorite, only now and later.